Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Why did you doubt? And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 44. Did I say 44? Do you know there's no Matthew chapter 44? Just testing. Matthew chapter 14, how about? That's what happens when you glance, but you don't look. You don't have a steady, absorbing gaze at the scripture that you're going to. Matthew chapter 14, let's go there. I had this come up during the worship time. You know, Jesus was not moved by circumstances. He wasn't. Never. Jesus never freaked out. Never had an off day. You know, a lot of people's picture of Jesus is him in the Garden of Gethsemane or him on the cross. And they forget about everything that he... he was a living sermon. You know, we're supposed to be a living sermon. A lot of times people think, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Oh, yeah, you are. What do you mean by that? You're called to live God's instruction on a daily basis. Every day. Whether you realize it or not, you're preaching to your kids. You're preaching to your neighbors. So if, like, you're on your side of the fence and you're not thinking about your neighbors on the other side of the fence, and you're, like, land blasting your child, yelling at him, and you've witnessed to your neighbor, you're preaching. You're preaching. You're sharing. Don't worry. We'll get happy before it's done, okay? Just, I want you to think about this. Everything you're doing is declaring something. Always. And what we're supposed to declare is the demonstration of Christ that we see in His Word and we see from the apostles. That's what we're supposed to declare. Secondly, did you know this, that you're in a fight? Now, your battle's not against flesh and blood, so we don't always think of fighting the way we should. We think of it in a worldly sense, in that I should be, you know, like two people punching each other. But you're in a fight against the enemy of your soul, which is Satan. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. And this is where renewal of the mind is so important. The interesting thing about this is Jesus already beat the devil up for you. Now, the devil's dumb. And what I mean by that is not that he doesn't know how to deceive people. It's that the devil refuses to see himself as he truly is. So he is what the Bible calls the father of lies. He is so much lies, he doesn't even know who he is. And so, since that's the case, he walks around and he preaches lies. Now, it's interesting because you guys, we all know this. I think to a large degree, we've talked about it here, but I think most people know this. We know that Satan didn't walk into the Garden of Eden and punch Adam in the face and slam him on the ground and just take over the garden by physical force, did he? No, he didn't. How did he come in? He came in with suggestion and thought and deception. Do you know his motivation, his operation has not changed? He is the devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. He has not changed. That's why it is so vital that you know what Jesus said about the enemy and what Jesus said about you. Because every day people are we're functioning in this world that is full of darkness, and we have light inside of us. And every day we have this faith fight going on. That's why in more than one place in the epistles, the Lord told us through the apostles to go ahead and resist the devil and submit to God. Now, a lot of times people have this weird picture in their mind about what that is, or they're confused or just don't know what that means. Very simply, it means you submit your life to what God said about you in His Word, and you resist anything that comes from outside that parameter. And most of the spiritual fight that you're going through is not spectacular. It's actually just, most of it's supernatural and it's mental. It's thoughts that are coming to you on a daily basis. Well, how are you ever going to take care of all the things you have to take care of? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, how are you going to pay those bills? When I give, it's given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Now, let me help you with something. Did you notice that the devil didn't show up? I mean, the devil didn't stand in front of me and declare to me, you're going to die way too young. You're going to die when you're in your 50s. And then my response to a thought like that is what? I'll be satisfied with long life, according to Psalms 91. You say, how can you smile if that thought comes to you? Because I know in whom I have believed. And the devil's tried to kill me more than once. And this has worked every time. You say the book worked? The man that wrote the book works every time. If we put our trust in Him. In other words, spiritual, you know, like we'll use images like this. You see the dark image on the far right side? You see the face in there? The enemy is not a mist, okay? This is just a picture to help you get an idea. Most of it is suggestions and thoughts, and suggestions and thoughts, and suggestions and thoughts. And worries and cares and thoughts and worries and cares. And they'll just stack up in your mind if you let them. And then and you say, how do I know that they've stacked up in my mind? Because they're leaking out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What did Jesus say? Take no thought saying. Just because you had a thought come doesn't mean you took it. But if you begin to say it, you begin to take it. He said, take no thought saying, what shall? No, not what shall. My trust is in the Lord. He will supply for me. I don't have to worry about what clothes I'm going to wear. I don't have to worry about what food I'm going to eat. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to get a drink. I'm talking about a drink of water, drink a pop, something like that. I don't have to worry about any of those things. Why? Because my Father is a good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He leads me to green pastures. He walks me beside rivers of living water. And me agreeing with Him gives Him access into my finances, into my job, into my body, into my kids, into my thought life, into every area of my life. When I move into agreement with Him, I then give Him an open door to come and do whatever He wants in my life. And that's what you want. Now, did I say you would never have a fight or an issue or a problem come up? No. Whoever thought that Christianity was like a bed of roses, they missed it, okay? They missed it. The message of Christianity is not that you won't have any more problems to deal with. You have an enemy on the loose in the earth. Well, why doesn't the devil just kick him, or why doesn't God just kick the devil out? Because Adam gave up the right for him to have authority as long as Adam's lease is on this earth. The devil has as much time as Adam had to be here legally. So Christianity is not a promise that you won't have problems. Christianity is that you have the answer to all the problems. Christianity is that you can overcome through Christ. And what happens in that? You get blessed, but you also preach to your neighbor. So God gets double entrance. He gets to bless you, which he wanted to do in the first place. It's all he's ever wanted to do is be a part of your life and teach you and lead you and guide you and love you and bless you. That's all he ever wanted to do. Not only does he get to do that, but then he also, this scent goes off that Paul talked about. And it isn't your perfume or your cologne. You said, what is the scent? Well, to the unsaved, it's like, whoa, what is that? But to the saved, it's like heaven on earth. Amen? Amen? To those who have an open heart and are repentant, they go, I want what you have. Yeah, the storm is raging, but you're still calm. I'm not saying I've done this perfect, but what is the example? Jesus asleep in the boat. Really, how much of your worrying is going to change it? You ever read through Matthew 6. And at the end of it, where he talks about, in Matthew 6:33, he talks about God supplying all his need and everything being taken care of. But he also talks about in there, sufficient for the day is the worry thereof. What is he saying? He's saying there's already going to be troubles in the day that are going to come up. So don't add to them by worrying about it. Amen? So you say, why did you say all that? Just to warm you up. Matthew chapter 14, it all go together, trust me. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Now, I'm going to read this passage and then we'll comment on it. But Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22 says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, let me say this. When you read stuff about Jesus, think in terms that he'll do that to you too. Okay? Don't just read it and go, oh yeah, that's a story that happened thousands of years to those guys. You know those guys, those 12? They were with Jesus. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He may make you go ahead of him in the boat. It may feel like you went out ahead of Jesus a little bit, but maybe he told you to do it. Jesus has not changed. We're the ones that need to change. Amen? So everybody say, the Bible is what God is like. Not my opinion. Some people were less strong on that. You're like, I don't know. My opinion's pretty good. Well, opinions. Never mind. We'll move on. Verse number 23 says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. That's a good example. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Can you imagine the disciples in the boat? Jesus, tell us to come out here. He went up on the mountain. Now we're tossed by the waves out here. Where's Jesus? You know they were afraid. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's read on. It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Did he? Did he do that? Is this a fairy tale or did Jesus walk on the water? We can count on these words. He walked on the water. Jesus made the water. He knows how to walk on it. Amen? Okay. Now, Jesus came walking on the water, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled or they were afraid, saying what? It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Why? Because everybody knows that if you see something walking on the water, it's a ghost. And they were terrified. They were afraid. In one another account of this particular story, it says they shrieked. They were screaming like little kids, scared, all right? Because Jesus looks like a ghost, I guess, or they think he is. And they cried out for fear. That's that word, shriek. They cried out. But verse 27 says this, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. See, Jesus doesn't bring fear. He brings cheer. It is I, do not what? Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was what? After Jesus told him what? Do not be afraid. See, they're just like us. And they were the 12 apostles. There's hope for us. Peter got to write in the Bible. He got to write portion of the Bible. There's hope for us. Don't let the enemy tell you, oh no, you'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to walk by faith. Liar. Don't believe that thought. If the Lord says to you, do not be afraid, what do you know? He is not asking you to do something that you cannot do. He is not just giving you words like this is a suggestion. Not only are the words coming to you, but inside the words are the power to accomplish what he asked you to do. Because faith comes by. So inside that, do not be afraid, is the ability of the Holy Spirit to what? Receive it in and go, I'm not afraid. And where others are going, are you nuts? You go, no, I'm saved. I have a sound mind. Come on. Don't quit yet, all right? People are thinking, I know people think, they do this because I've done it. And I've had the Lord speak to me about it. God, they will hear God's word and they know it's right and they'll mentally agree with it, but then they'll reason within themselves why all the reasons why it won't work for them. No, it will work for you. It will work for you. We don't understand how much doubt is trying to operate in the earth all the time. Let's move on a little bit further here. He says this, but when he saw the, verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you what? Doubt. Why did you doubt? So I read this the other day, and I was reading through it, and I shared it with in our leadership meeting. But I read this the other day, and I thought, I just felt like the Holy Spirit really like emphasized that specific question to me. Have you ever been reading something and you read it and then you read something, it's like, whoa. You get this aha moment, you know, it's like the light went on. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, okay, when you're reading the scriptures. And I felt like that, why did you doubt, stood out to me, because I always used to read it like Jesus was kind of rebuking him, you know what I mean? I used to read it like Jesus looked down and said, come on, Peter, why did you doubt? And at that moment when I read it, I had this thought come to me. It was more like a question. Like, Peter, think about why doubt happened. Consider why doubt happened. Why did you doubt? What are the things, Peter, that made you doubt? Peter, you started out by faith and walking on water, which is naturally impossible, so then you began to sink. So Peter, why do you think you began to doubt? Does that make sense? Is it helping you a little bit, making you think? So what caused the doubt? Let's look at the definition of doubt. If you are taking notes, you can write doubt and then a little dash. The word doubt means this, to duplicate. The word doubt is where we get our word double. Double. Does that make sense? D-O-U-B-T. Well, D-O-U-B-L-E is double, right? Did I pass my spelling test? Okay. Well, Mike was struggling with his counting test earlier, so I make sure I'm passing my spelling. All right. Double. It means to duplicate. The word doubt also means to waver. To waver. It's interesting, as I started looking up these scriptures and looking at where this word doubt is used, and the example that the Holy Spirit used in wind and waves to waver, it's just all tied together. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And the Lord's like that. It means to, think about this, to stand in two ways. To stand in two ways, or double standard, double standing. Okay? The word means uncertainty on which way to take. This is what doubt is. Doubt is double vision. You're trying to focus on two things at once. Can you do that? Can you give 100% of yourself to two things? The answer is no. You cannot. Now, don't get lost in thought here. Stay with me, okay? Don't let your mind run off. Well, I got to do this and that. No. Stay with the Lord. Doubt means double. It means to duplicate. It means to waver. It means to stand in two ways. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. I want you to see this word used. Now, sometimes it's translated, the word is used, it's not always doubt, the word that they use. And sometimes it is, but it means the same thing. Sometimes they use waver. I believe he uses a few other words. You know, they're translating from Greek and Hebrew to English, so sometimes it doesn't always look exactly the same, but the same thought is present. So Matthew chapter 21, verse number 21 says this, and I'm just going to begin in verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, this is where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Actually, I'll start in verse 18. Now, in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. So this is Matthew 21, 18. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and you do not what? Or you do not double. If you have faith and you do not try and stand in two places at once." It's settling in, I can feel it. If you have faith and you do not try and look at two things at once. If you have faith and you do not try and look at the problem and the promise together. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, this joy should just be going inside you. Why? Because God's words bring light and joy. When Jesus moves in your life, think about it. When he moved into cities and they accepted him, the Bible says that the city would what? Rejoice. See, Satan has done a great job in this area, and we are going to kill it. I'm not giving him credit. I'm declaring a fight. It's okay. God's on our side. People are like, don't tangle with the devil. He's been stripped. Colossians 2:15 declares it. He's been disarmed. Yeah, but he might try and do something. Listen, he's tried to do stuff to me and my family a bunch. I'm not quitting now. Every time something comes up, it fuels me. I'm like, yeah, we're fighting. Why? Because it's the good fight of faith. A good fight is not a fight you lose. And I can't, you say, what if you died before you were supposed to? I'd be in heaven. Hopefully you wouldn't cry at my funeral. Why? Do you really think people in heaven are going, man, I wish I was back on the earth? I just, you know, if I could get back down there, huh? No. They have, somebody say, no pain. No pain. No depressed days. No down days. No nights. Just life all day long. All day, every day, walking not in the sunlight, in the glory of God constantly. My grandpa's living it up right now. And my grandma and my other grandma and grandpa. Why? They beat me there. It's supposed to be that way. But you say, well, it didn't happen that way with me. Well, they're in your future. You're headed right to them if you're born again. People say, will we recognize each other? I think so. You think God's going to be like, get us all to heaven? Everything's going to be new to us? No. It's just going to have no death in it. Total life all the time. All right, let's get back to this. Somebody needed that. So he's saying, have faith and do not double. Do not doubt. Do not try and look at two things at once. Now, this takes effort, guys. This is not for somebody who's like, you know, I think I'll try that Christianity thing for a while. Faith does not try things. It does it. You know, it's like giving financially. We talk about tithing and giving. You don't try giving. You do it. You know, I don't try tithing to see if it works. I just keep doing it. And it always works. Don't get me wrong. It's work. But at first, man, it was a faith fight. And then I had all the people tell me why tithing is not for today. So I had to go through all that and settle it in my own mind. I mean, even if you pulled tithing from today, there's giving in the New Testament repeatedly. Somebody say, don't talk about money. I'll do it. We'll get past it. We're still in faith. In other words, let me say this, because this is what I was going to say in conjunction with it. Make sure you go through the scripture and look at why you're giving and what God's promise to you is first. And get yourself in a place of faith, not in a place of duo, not in a place of double. Well, man, I hope this works. Don't do that. Find the scriptures, read the promises, let faith come in, and then move forward in a place of conviction on what you're doing so that you're settled. Like for me, when I became a Christian, I was so settled, it didn't matter how many friends I lost when I gave my life to the Lord. It was over. My friends deciding what I was going to do with my life at that point was done. To the point that when I came home from, it was actually in high school, my senior year in high school, I came home from church camp, my party buddies were waiting for me to get off the bus. I had left my car in the parking lot of the church, you know, and I was in my car, and one of my buddies, who's still a troublemaker till today, one of my buddies was waiting for me. He's like, man, we're going out tonight. And I said, no, I'm not going to go. And he said, you're not going to be one of those dumb Christians, are you? That's literally what he said to me. And I looked at him and I said, yep, and we haven't hung out since. That was almost 20 years ago. I like where I'm at. Amen. My life's good. I still look fairly young. You know, partying is hard on your body. You can look old quick, you know. I meet some of my buddies around town from high school, and you can tell they've been partying every night and every weekend since high school. And man, they got me by 10 years, even though we're the same age or better, because it's just hard on you. Amen? So I made up my mind, though, I wasn't going to have a double vision. I wasn't going to try and hang out in my past and move forward in my future. You can't do that. And that principle of doubt, that principle of thinking about these things in having a double mind or two looking at two things at once applies to every area of your life. We have the benefit of watching Peter gurgle salt water so that we can learn about doubt. You know what I mean? Now, there's the other side of it too. People say, well, I've doubted before. Yeah, but do you notice Jesus pulled Peter out of the water? So if you're in that place where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do, cry out to Jesus. He's merciful. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Forever. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for that. Forever. So it has to do with that same thought of doubt, double, duo, trying to stand in two places. You can't do it. So Peter, why did you doubt? Well, why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt, Peter? Well, Lord, I doubted because I tried to look at two things at once. Let's go to Mark 11. Same word used here. Mark 11. We're almost done. Are you getting anything? Thank the Lord, huh? Mark 11, verse number, this is a famous passage. Brother Hagin made it famous. But he says this, Mark 11, 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, verse 23, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not what? Doubt in his heart." In other words, he doesn't double in his heart. He doesn't try and stand on two convictions in his heart. Okay? All right, let's back it up. Think about it with me. He doesn't try and live in the promise of God and wonder if it's going to come to pass. Well, I'm going to speak to this mountain by faith because Jesus told me that I could do it. Well, you think it's going to work? Well, I hope so. No, that's double. It either is or it's not. Does that make sense? You say, why is God this way? I don't know, but He chose to be. It's my job get in line with Him. You know what I mean? Is it my job to look at these passages of Scripture and go, well, do you really think He meant what He said? You really think that's true? I don't know. Can I ask you something? If you can't trust these words, how can you trust the salvation words that you believed? So how do we decide which ones are worthy of trusting? Now, let me say this. There is a principle in Bible interpretation where we take things in context. In other words, if this is just, we don't go back to, like I've heard this argument with, in people use Old Testament scriptures to try and prove that Christianity for today is not worth it. Well, you have to look at the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. We're not living under the old covenant. Now, there are principles and blessings that cross over into today. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying by that? In other words, there are principles in the Old Testament as far as being satisfied with long life, as far as the blessing of the Lord. I'll put it to you like this. If you find it in the new and it's in the old as well, you can take it and use it. All right, I'll give you this example. Is it okay for me to have about 10 wives? Well, how do you know that? Because I can give you scripture in the Old Testament that where men of God, David, had more than one. Come on, people. Think. In other words, the scripture talks about me being the husband of in the New Testament, right? They were living a spiritually dead existence. Huh? They were not born again under the old covenant. Does that make sense? You realize that you get revelation out of the Psalms and a guy who had multiple wives wrote that? Different covenant. Different time setting. God was dealing with a people at a different time where Jesus had not yet come yet. Man, somebody got understanding right there. Okay? Don't let people use Old Testament scriptures to try and diffuse what you believe that you see in the New Testament. That's not how it works. We're not under the law, we're under grace. We're born again. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are brand new on the inside, and it affects every area of our lives. But you have to interpret the old with the new. Okay? You notice that we don't eat a specific diet under the new covenant? People say, well, we should go back to the Old Testament where the Jews, we got to eat the way the Jews did. No, you don't. The scripture says, let everything be received with thankfulness and the reading of the word. God has made what was unclean and those rituals, Jesus was the fulfillment of all of it. Does that make sense? So you don't got to go back to that. It'll help you stay single and understand a few things. So right here, Jesus is saying, and in conjunction with what we're talking about there, what we're saying is that these words are trustworthy, and we can understand them and walk in them, and God's faithful to perform what he said he would. We need to be convinced of it and not be double in our thinking. Don't be two in your thinking. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I love Romans chapter 4. If you ever want to see a picture of faith, read Romans chapter 4. And after you're done reading it, turn around and read it again. You know what I mean? It's like you're like, man, I really like the houses in this neighborhood. So you back up and drive back through it. And you turn around and go back through it again. It's the same thing with Scripture. I'll do this with Scripture. I'll read it and then I'll pray. And then I'll read it again and then I'll pray. And then I'll pray about it and read it. And then I'll think about it and read it. And pray about it and think about it and read it and pray about it. Then I'll talk about it with Heidi. And then she'll share something with me. And then I'll go back and read it again. Why? I want it in me. I want to be so full of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that it just comes out everywhere you are. Where people look at you and they go, what do you got that I don't got? You got light in your eyes. You know what I mean? The world's coming apart at the seams and you're still happy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know? That's faith. So, Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. I love this. It's so good. Oh, man. The promise given to Abraham. I'm going to start in verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's you and me. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Do you know we are of the faith of Abraham? Who is the father of us all? Who is he? He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. See, they just said he was the father of us all. In the presence of him whom he believed, God. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Now listen to this. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now what does that mean? Does anybody know? I know it sounds really King Jamesy, doesn't it? Let me put it to you like this. Abraham believed God's promise, even though in the natural there was no hope for it. So contrary to natural hope, he believed in supernatural hope. Does that make sense? So in other words, contrary to what I see in the natural, because Abraham was what? He was really old, and his wife was really barren. I mean, really barren. Like, couldn't have kids when she was 20, and now she's old. So there is no hope in the natural that this is going to change. So how did he hope? In the promise. You can choose to hope in the promise and ignore the natural. Now, I'm not talking about you just like, it's not there. Nope, that's not happening. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Faith doesn't deny a problem. Faith denies the problem's right to stay. Does that make sense? And that is faith, or we would say, no double. No doubt. No doubt at all. Just faith. Peter, why did you doubt? Well, Lord, I was looking at you and I heard your words to me that was to come. And so I was doing pretty good. And then you know what? I started thinking about the wind. And then I started feeling the waves crash against my legs. And all of a sudden, my single vision of your word and you, Lord, turned into Jesus, wind and waves. Jesus, wind and waves. Jesus, I can't walk on the water. There's wind and waves today. Can you walk on the water on a calm day? Come on, the enemy is so subtle. Except for faith in God and focus on Him, you can't do anything supernatural. Why did you doubt? What caused you to begin to have double vision? What has God asked you to do in your life? And what is trying to distract you from that? What? Okay, I'll put it to you like this. In between Jesus and His word to you is wind and waves. The devil is not going to just let you have what God said you could have. The idea of that is ludicrous from all the scriptures that we see and the stories in the Bible. He is going to try and test your faith in every area. The enemy will. He will. But don't worry about it. You've got God with you. You can overcome. We can do it. Well, there's this circumstance, and I can't do it because of this circumstance. Wind and waves. Wind and waves. Wind and waves. Jesus said, come. Yeah, but my emotion does not feel good about this. That's your flesh. Follow your heart. You can do it. You know, you can have joy like you've never had joy in your life before if you'll focus on the promise. You can have strength in your body if you'll focus on the promise. You can have peace in your mind if you'll focus on the promise. Don't let the enemy dictate the patterns of thought in your mind. You take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, every thought, man, I'd be taking control of my thoughts all day long. I know initially it's like that. Until the devil gets tired. You know he gets wore out? You know he gets wore out. You say, prove he gets wore out. Jesus, in the wilderness, was tempted by the enemy. And the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. Why? Because he got whooped. That was Jesus. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You say, you got an answer for everything. Thank you. Thank you. So do you. It sits in your lap. It might sit on your coffee table with some dust on it. I don't know. But you have an answer. That gave me great joy. Just that whole section right there just blessed me. I'm glad I came today. Would you stand with me, please? We're done. Did you get anything? Now, don't just get something and not apply it this week. Don't just get something and not apply it this week. Get something and apply it. You say, I know somebody else who can hear this message too. Good, we'll put it online. You can listen to it there. Download it. We'll post it. It'll be on the website. If you feel like, oh, I need to listen to this again, go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen to it again and again and again and again and again and allow the Word of God to transform the way you think. And guys, I don't know if I could explain this to you. I can't explain it to you physically, so you just need to do it and believe it. But just read the Word and read the Word. Like if you need healing in your body, don't just pray a prayer randomly about it and then forget about it. Go to the Word and find scriptures that specifically talk about healing and just read them over and over and over. You say, well, I understand what I'm reading. I'm not trying to just get it into your head. There needs to be this transition that takes place where the light turns on inside. I'll explain it to you like this, because I'll just explain to you my experience in it, I guess, in it. But you know in the book of Acts where it says Stephen was a man full of faith and the Word of God? Why was he full of faith? He was full of the Word of God. How did they know he was full of faith? How did he know he was full of the Word of God? You can feel it in your heart. You get to this point where it's like, you know, the Bible talks about that he'll overflow our cup. You know why some people, all they do is look down and depressed? Because they're overly filled with depression. But you can get so full of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that it just, you can't help it. It's like you're just spilling everywhere. Brother Hagin used to say it to us like this. You want to be so full of the Word of God, you're like a saturated sponge. You ever got a sponge really saturated with water? And you can set it on the counter, and it doesn't just go everywhere, but it kind of stays there. But if you just touch it a little bit, what happens? More water comes out. You ever seen that? That's what you need to do with the Word of God. You say, well, I got so many things I got to do. Nothing is more important in your life than your relationship with God. Nothing. Not your husband, not your kids. Nothing is more important than God in your life. Nothing. Because let me ask you something. How is your situation? How are you going to help anybody without God? Without Him, we can do nothing. James 15. There's no James 15 either. There's no Matthew 44. There's no James 15. How about John 15? Talks about us abiding in Him. He's the vine and we are the branches. And we can accomplish nothing without Him. But in Him, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. I wish it wasn't this way, but the storms are promised. But the promiser will get you through. And then you'll be able to help somebody else. That's why, you know, think about all the things that you've gone through to this point in your life. Glory to God, you're alive. You're in church today. Some of you didn't even really know the Lord when you went through Him. And His mercy kept you so you could get to this point. Woohoo! I'm excited about that. I should have been dead. You can ask Mike. I look dead. You say, Mike partied you with you. No, he got to see me after I got saved. It was a sight. But I'm alive, doing well. Got one vision. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word today. Lord, I just thank You for Your presence in this place. Lord, fill Your people with the Holy Spirit. Joy, remind them, Holy Spirit. You said You bring all things to our remembrance. Lord, I sense in my heart maybe there's some calling, some different things that people have in their heart, and they're doing them, they're moving towards them, but doubt tries to creep in. And then there may be other issues that you're dealing with that are doubt, potential doubt issues, potential to have double vision. I just hear the Spirit of God saying, stay focused on Him. Stay in His Word. I hear Him saying, don't believe the lies of the enemy, that it's too far gone, or that it can't change, or that He can't restore all, because He can. He is well able, but He needs your focus. He needs your faith. And that faith pleases Him. And He'll reach out His hand and move on your behalf. Just don't quit. Remember, the Scripture says, it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. So, Father, we choose, and You can decide in Your own heart right where you're at, to believe You. We will receive. We will remain in faith, and we will remain patient with You. Just happy the whole time. not overwhelmed. And Lord, if we do get off, if we make a mistake, we'll quickly run to you. We'll come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And receive joy fulfilled and restored. And so, Father, we thank you for your word today. We purpose to be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Say hi to somebody on the way out. And we'll see you Wednesday night. We'll continue this series next week too. So be blessed.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.